Here's a story in the future for Rabbi Irving. Rabbi Irving was very old, and he was dying. And he sent a message for a banker and a lawyer, both who were members of his congregation, to come to his home. And when they arrived, they were ushered into his bedroom. And as they entered the room, Rabbi Irving held out his hands and motioned for them to sit on each side of the bed. He grasped their hands, sighed contentedly, smiled, and stared at the ceiling. And for a time, no one said anything. And both the banker and the lawyer were touched and flattered that Rabbi Irving would ask them to be with him during his final moments. They were also a little puzzled. The rabbi had never given them any indication that he particularly liked either of them. And they both remembered his many convicting sermons about greed, covetousness, and avaricious behavior that had made them squirm in their seats. Finally, the banker said, "Rabbi Irving, why did you ask the two of us to be with you here at this special time?" The rabbi mustered up his strength and then said weakly, "Yeshua died between two thieves, and that's how I want to go out." So as I was praying about what to share this week, it was very clear to me that I was to talk about a great danger that all of us are in from a spirit, a danger of being tempted by bitterness. And I named this message, Overcoming the Bitterness of Defeat. Some of you remember the TV show, The Wide World of Sports, where they talked about the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. So this is about the bitterness of defeat. So let me start by defining bitterness. Here's what the dictionary says. An attitude that is distasteful, unpleasant, or distressing to the mind, marked by intensity or severity, exhibiting intense animosity, like a bitter enemy, harshly reproachful, bitter complaints, marked by cynicism and rancor, bitter contempt, expressive of severe pain, grief, or regret, bitter tears. So the Bible refers to bitterness in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 15, and it says this, if we get that first slide up there, "See to it that no one misses out on God's grace, that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble and thus contaminates many." So the Bible says that bitterness is a root. And it's a root because, like a root of a weed, it springing up in your lawn or in your garden, it's in six ways. It's actually seven ways it's like a root. First of all, just like a weed, bitterness is hard to get rid of. Secondly, as weeds destroy garden plants, bitterness destroys your fruitfulness. Third, if not pulled out, bitterness grows big and produces harmful, bad fruit, like a weed that is a thistle. Fourth, bitterness is hard to dig out, like roots are, and other weeds, like thistles and other weeds. The roots go deep, and it takes effort, strength, and the right tools to get the root out. Fifth, if you don't get all of the root out, it'll come back. Just like if you leave a little bit of a root of a weed, it'll come back. Sixth, if bitterness is not pulled out, it will spread and contaminate other people, just like a weed would spread around your garden. Bitterness can be caught from bitter people, especially a family member. And seventh, bitterness causes trouble. It creates divisions, it causes gossip and rejection. So that's one side of the description in the Bible of bitterness, but there's another side of description. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, the scripture says, "For we are not struggling against human beings, but against the rulers, authorities, and cosmic powers governing this darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm." So I understand that bitterness is a cosmic power governing this dark world. It's a spiritual force of evil in heavenly realms because it has associated with it several other related spirits, bitterness is actually what we call a ruling spirit. Now, there are many causes of bitterness. You probably all know some of these causes because we know everybody here knows somebody who's bitter, a bitter person. Talk to them and they just spew bitterness. Oh, this happened to me and this is so terrible and this, and anybody? Okay, some of you do. Bitter people blame others for their problems. And they blame other people, but they also blame families, ex-spouses, romantic interests, children, bosses. They can blame organizations, schools, the congregation, the police, a neighborhood bully, abusers, their culture. They can blame the government. Who hasn't heard people blame the government for what's wrong with them, right? They can blame the religion. They can blame the economy. And they can blame God, or they can blame themselves. Now, I'm sure that many of you have been bitter at times, or I'm sure in all the people that are watching here and online, there are people who are bitter right now about something. So over the past year, I think you'll all agree with me that we have all been distressed by the virus. Yes. Everybody. So concerning the virus, bitterness is tempting you to be bitter against the Chinese Communist Party, the World Health Organization, the Center for Disease Control. How about Governor Cuomo? Other governors who exposed nursing homes. How about the pharmaceutical companies that some people believe opposed affecting already existing drugs to maximize their profits from the vaccine they were making? And then there's doctors who have gone along with this opposition to protect their careers. And lots of people have died because of these things. And then following the inauguration on Wednesday, I and many more who voted for President Trump are distressed about the election. In fact, I'm more distressed than I was in 2008 or 2012 when Obama won, because although I strongly disagreed with President Obama's policy agenda, I believe he'd won a fair election. Today, many of us strongly disagree with President Biden's policy agenda, which he immediately began to implement on Thursday, as Mark was just praying about. But we also believe he was not elected in a fair election. So we're more distressed now than in 2008 or 2012. And in that state of distress, we're being tempted by that powerful spiritual force, that cosmic power, the principality, that ruler of darkness in high places, bitterness. The bitterness of defeat, not a fair defeat, but a defeat by being cheated. You're more bitter about losing when you're cheated and they get away with it, right? And by defeat by referees who colluded with your opponent to cheat, refused to call a foul when there was a foul. So those of us who voted for President Trump are also tempted to be bitter because the evidence shows that his victory in the election was taken from us. And when things are stolen, anybody here ever have anything stolen from you? How does that deal with bitterness? Bitterness comes when you get something stolen from you. So we're tempted to be bitter because the election was stolen. So, who are we tempted to be bitter towards concerning the election? Well, it's a long list. I'm tempted to be bitter toward those local election officials and workers in the 6 swing states who perpetrated the election fraud. Toward local and state officials and judges in those states who covered it up by blocking all investigations. Toward state legislatures in those states who allowed unconstitutional changes in election laws in their states. Tempted to be bitter toward judges, all the way up to the Supreme Court of the United States, who all refused to hear the cases brought to expose the fraud. And we're tempted to be bitter toward the Republicans who participated in the cover-up which we've only recently learned, and turned on President Trump, and toward both Republican and Democrat congresspeople and senators who accepted the fraudulent results without examining the evidence. They never even looked at the evidence. And then how about being bitter toward law enforcement agencies, local police, sheriffs, Department of Justice, FBI, the Federal Election Commission, all refused to investigate. So I'm tempted to be bitter, maybe you are too, toward the mainstream media that refused to publish the evidence of the fraud. So there's actually a significant fraction of U.S. citizens that don't even believe there was fraud. And then we're seeing just in the last week, large corporations that have attacked alternative social media services like Parler to keep them from allowing discussion of the fraud. And of course, the main social media platforms like Facebook and Twitter that censored and blocked all mention of any election fraud. And then we're tempted to be bitter toward corporations that are now boycotting those who have stood against the fraud, or firing employees that stood against the fraud. It's just, is that a long enough list? Goodness. We're tempted to be bitter toward all of these. But there's someone else that we're tempted to be bitter toward that we need to watch out for. Because as Bible believers, we believe that God's in control. How many believe God's in control? Yes. So we're tempted to be bitter toward God because he allowed these two distressing catastrophes to happen. God, why did you allow this pandemic that has killed my loved one? God, why did you allow this election to be stolen? Bitterness toward God is a great danger because just as bitterness toward another person destroys your relationship with them, bitterness towards God destroys your relationship with him. So, we need to be able to resist this temptation to be bitter toward God, as well as all the other people that I said we might be bitter toward right now. Now, here's the thing about bitterness. Some of you are bitter now about some of these things, but are not aware that what you're feeling is actually bitterness, because you haven't learned which spirits are associated with bitterness, allied with bitterness. See, bitterness, as I started out saying, is like a principality of fear. Fear is a ruling spirit, which has many allied spirits along with it. For instance, fear has allied with it worry, anxiety, nervousness, stress. Those are all spirits that are allied with fear. And people think these are normal and accept them as part of life. Oh yeah, I've got anxiety. That's normal. Everybody has it. I'm stressed out. Everybody has it. So bitterness is also a principality, a ruling spirit that rules many allied spirits. And those spirits gain power over you and function as an armor to protect bitterness. And these allied spirits must be dealt with before bitterness can be removed. Bitterness needs to be exposed so we can recognize its manifestations through its allied spirits. So what are the spirits that gain power through and are allied with bitterness that are tempting us through this distress of both the virus and the election? Well, resentment, anger, and hatred. We'll go into some detail about those later. But for now, you need to understand that if you're having any of those feelings, along with frustration, hopelessness, despair, depression, they come from and are allied with the principality of bitterness and are protecting it and concealing it so you don't see it. So what blocks people from discerning bitterness and its allies? Well, three things. First, as I said before, some people accept the lie that these attitudes and feelings are normal and should be accepted as part of life. That's a lie. Second, some people accept the lie that when they are bitter, it's justified because of what they've been through or what's been done to them. Bitterness has the power to make you just feel justified about being bitter. That's one of its tricks. You have a right to be bitter because of what he, she, or they did to you. That's a lie. Bitterness can be a comfort zone for some people. They're used to it. It defines their identity. So, what's the problem with being bitter? What is the effect of bitterness on you? Why should you seek to be free of it? Well, I said before, number one, bitterness destroys relationships. Number two, bitterness makes it difficult for you to forgive. And the Lord commands you to forgive. Number three, grudges are usually caused by bitterness. And the Lord commands us not to hold grudges. Number four, according to the Be In Health database, where they've characterized 20 years of healings and through dealing with the spiritual roots of disease, bitterness causes many physical diseases, especially cancer, osteoporosis. Bitterness is torment. People who are bitter, it's like drinking poison and expecting the person you are bitter towards to die. So I would recommend Pastor Henry Wright's book on bitterness. And there's also a CD set. If you want to check out the Be In Health website, you can get them there. But let's take a look at another scripture here. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. Keep pursuing shalom with everyone, and the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. Now, holiness in this context means separation from evil. And we all know we need to pursue holiness to be separate from evil to see the Lord. But this verse also says that without shalom, with who? With everyone, you cannot see the Lord. So bitterness, number six here in the effects of bitterness, bitterness destroys your shalom, your peace, so you cannot see the Lord. Now, it's important to explain that this doesn't mean if someone's mad at you, you can't connect with God. It means to be in relationship with the Lord, your goal must be shalom with people, peace with people. So you must all do all you can to make peace. Whether others receive your attempts or not, you have to do all you can. And bitterness and its allied spirits are always there when you don't have peace in a relationship. And then verse 15 of Hebrews 12, see to it that no one misses out on God's grace, that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble and thus contaminates many. And this is very important. Bitterness is like a root of a weed springing up in your lawn and garden. We talked about it before. But here we learn that it's contagious. Bitterness is like the virus. It's contagious. If you have fallen to the temptation of bitterness and you are struggling with bitterness, then other people are going to get it from you. James chapter 3 and verse 10 says this, out of the same mouth come blessing and cursing. Brothers, it isn't right for things to be this way. Verse 11, a spring doesn't send forth fresh and bitter water from the same opening, does it? What this is saying is that a bitter person cannot refresh other people, because they send forth bitter words, bitter water. Okay, so now that I think you're convinced, everybody convinced, we don't want bitterness, right? All right. How does the spirit of bitterness get into us? Hebrews 12:15 says it can contaminate many, so it's catching, for one thing. But bitterness gets in when you let it in by coming into agreement with it, or when you come into agreement with one of its allied spirits. And the allied spirits then are like stepping stones, each one worse, proceeding toward bitterness and leading you into its bondage. The most frequent cause of bitterness is being hurt by other people or organizations. So let me take a little survey. I can't take it online, but I can take it here. Anyone here hurt by another person or organization? Okay, look around, everybody. This is important. Keep your hands up, because some people think they're the only ones that have been hurt. Look around. Everybody's got their hands up. This is a human condition. All of us. So, getting back to the election, there are two other reasons to resist the temptation to be bitter. First of all, in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1, we read this. First of all, then, I counsel that petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all human beings, verse 2, including kings and all in positions of prominence or authority, so that we may lead quiet and peaceful lives, being godly and upright in everything. So, we're supposed to be praying for President Biden. And the Supreme Court, and the congresspeople, and the social media technocrats, and the corporate heads. How can we pray for them when we believe they've done such evil? Well, pray for them to be convicted. Pray for them to be convicted of sin and turning to God. That's praying for their good, right? That's not praying against them. Pray for our government to be convicted that something like 62 million babies have been murdered in the womb. There has been election fraud. There's been turning against Israel. Pray for them to have contrite hearts, to repent, to be saved. But then, how can we give thanks for them when they've done such evil? Well, the Holy Spirit has been saying to me, and I hope you've caught it, I've mentioned a couple of messages here, this fraud and cover-up is good. How can I say that? It has revealed the extent of the ungodliness, the evil in our government, in our media, in our social media, in our corporations. It has shined a light on what President Trump called the swamp, but I've been blown away. The swamp is way bigger than I thought it was. It is huge. If it hadn't happened, we would not know who is on the Lord's side and who is not, right? But now, it's all going to come into the light, and that's something we can be thankful for. So thank you, Lord, for what we've been through in this last couple of months, because if it hadn't happened, it would just all stay covered up. And it's going to be exposed. It's going to be exposed. Because for the election, we are challenged to believe Romans 8:28. And it's a real challenge to believe this about it, but we are supposed to believe this about it. We know that God causes everything to work together for good of those who love God and are called in accordance with his purpose. That's you and I. Do you love God? Are you called according to his purpose? It's all working for your good. How is it working for your good? It's uncovering the evil. It's uncovering the evil. He's used this distressing virus and stolen fraudulent election to reveal who in government, media, business, social media, medicine, who's on his side and who is not. So we can give thanks for all those in authority who participated in the fraud. How about that? They've helped, this is the analogy I like, they've helped move the rocks so the snakes under it can be revealed. So we can give thanks for all those in authority. The second thing about this that needs to be clarified is that anger is not always bad. There is righteous anger. In Exodus chapter 4 and verse 14, it says that this Adonai, the Lord's anger, blazed against Moshe. God's anger is righteous anger. Anger allied with bitterness is unrighteous anger. It's harmful to you. Righteous anger is not. We're going to dig into how to discern the difference a little bit later. So, how can you resist the temptation to be bitter? Or, how can you get the spirit of bitterness out of your life if it's already there? Bitterness cannot stand against love and forgiveness. The greatest protection against bitterness is to be experiencing the love of God, to be living in the knowledge of his love for you, rooted in it, grounded in it and having that foundation of your life built on the love of God. So when others hurt you, steal from you, betray you, which will happen to all of us, God's love will enfold you, just like the song we sang. You'll be in the cleft of the rock, protecting your heart, healing any wounds. But what happens if bitterness has already gained some power over you? How do you get rid of it? Victory over bitterness requires repenting of having gotten along with it, forgiving, and then you need to walk in God's delivering power. As a disciple of Yeshua, you have the power to cast it out. I'm going to look here at a couple of passages where Yeshua talked about these kind of spirits that have control of other spirits. Mark chapter 3 and verse 27. Furthermore, no one can break into a strong man's house and make off with his possessions unless he first ties up the strong man. After that, he can ransack his house. So the analogy that Yeshua is making here is not just bitterness, but other strong spirits, other ruling spirits. Bitterness is one of the strong men that Yeshua is referring to here. And to overcome him, you need to tie him up. Did you ever hear the word binding? That's what this is about. Bind him before you can spoil his house. What is his house? Those allied spirits that make up what we call the armor of bitterness are his house. And bitterness becomes enmeshed in those spirits. It can't be dealt with alone. Resentment, anger, hatred, frustration, despair. Luke 11 gives some more instruction about this. Verse 20. But if I drive out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Verse 21. When a strong man who is fully equipped for battle guards his own house, his possessions are secure. Verse 22, but when someone stronger attacks and defeats him, he carries off all the armor and weaponry on which that man is depending and divides it up the spoils. So here's the battle strategy for dealing with bitterness. Repent of bitterness. Bind bitterness. That's the strong man. Repent of each piece of bitterness, armor, and weaponry. The other spirits align with it. Unforgiveness, resentment, anger, hatred, frustration, hopelessness, depression. Expel each piece of the armor of bitterness and its weaponry using the name of Yeshua, which is above every name, and the authority given to you over all the forces of darkness, and cast them out. And then, when you've gotten rid of those, go back and expel the strong man, bitterness. Bitterness is armor. The spirits allied with it will all protect it and hide it. So we're going to deal with those that apply to the election and the virus. And you can apply what will be revealed to other situations and people in your life and other bitterness-allied spirits. Envy and jealousy and violence are also allied with bitterness. So let's look at the first piece of armor, resentment. Here's the definition. The feeling of displeasure or indignation at some act, remark, person, organization, etc., regarded as causing injury or insult. I resent his success of what he did. So resentment, it's a little bit mild. It begins to cause a breach in relationships. And it creates a dislike of a person or an organization and a desire to be separate. So if you find yourself resenting anyone, be aware. This is what I was saying. That's a sign of bitterness. That's one of the spirits allied with bitterness. So, anyone here feeling any resentment towards someone about the election or the virus? I am. I'll admit it. Second piece of armor is anger. Anger crosses the line to vocalization or outward manifestations. Anger is vocalized bitterness. It's manifested visibly, usually suddenly, uncontrollably. Anger seethes inside until it comes out and causing damage to a relationship, usually at the worst possible time. You can't stuff anger. Anybody here ever try to stuff anger? You stuff it for a while, and then what happens? It comes out sideways. You suddenly find yourself telling that person what you really think of them. Or telling others about what he or she or those who offended you did. Anger leads to the elimination of that person from your life, permanently destroying your relationship with them. Anger is the cause of many family splits. Anger and resentment actually cause diseases. Aneurysms, varicose veins, hemorrhoids, all caused by anger. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26 says this, "Be angry, but don't sin. Don't let the sun go down before you have dealt with the cause of your anger." Verse 27, "Otherwise, you leave room for the adversary." So you can be angry and it's not be sin if you deal with it by forgiving and praying for that person before sundown. So when you have been hurt, you must learn to forgive, pray for, and confront the offender as soon as possible, or bitterness can come in. When does anger become bitter? Well, the verse tells us very clearly. If you go to bed with anger, you'll wake up with bitterness. In other words, if you allow anger to fester, it will turn into bitterness. What about righteous anger? Okay, good question. Glad I asked it. When you've been hurt, your anger should be directed at Satan, who has deceived that person or organization into turning away from God or hurting you in some way. Righteous anger shouldn't be toward those who are deceived. You should pity them. Have compassion on them. They're deceived. They will eventually be judged by God for what they've done. Do you get angry feelings when you think of a certain person or a situation? These angry feelings can be bitterness sent by the enemy. How about this question? Will you always remember what was done to you? You can, but you don't have to carry the thought of anger and bitterness that churns you up inside. True forgiveness will remove these harmful thoughts and let God heal the pain of those experiences, so even though you remember them, they aren't painful. So, anyone here or out there angry at someone or something about the election or the virus? Yes? Okay, third piece of armor, hatred. This sets the stage for physical elimination of the person or the thing from your life. You can't be in the same place at the same time. Hatred generates strong, defiling feelings. Anyone feeling hatred towards someone or something about the election or the virus? So we need to deal with resentment, anger, and hatred because they lead to bitterness. And to deal with them, we first need to deal with the fourth piece of armor. There's a spirit of unforgiveness. Mark 11, verse 25 says this, "And when you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, so that your Father in heaven may also forgive your offenses." And verse 26, "But if you do not forgive, your Father in heaven will not forgive your offenses." So we all need to deal with unforgiveness toward those involved in the election and the fraud or many other things in your lives, in my life. Because unforgiveness is the first stepping stone toward bitterness. It opens the door and it brings torment and destroys your peace. Unforgiveness keeps a record of wrongs and reminds you of the pain. It stirs up the painful memory. You can feel it. You can feel it in your gut, churning. So when you've been offended, if you don't immediately forgive, unforgiveness begins to gain access. I'm not going to forgive. I'm just going to hang on to this for a while. This was too bad. The spirit of unforgiveness makes it hard to forgive. And when unforgiveness is in your life, it opens the door to the rest of the spirits. They come, next comes resentment, and then comes anger, and then comes hatred. It's like going up a staircase. But unforgiveness is the weakest part of the armor because you can deal with it easily. You just have to forgive. And unforgiveness also can be towards others and organizations, but unforgiveness, and maybe other in these circumstances, can be toward God or toward yourself. So are you now or have you ever held a grudge? That's bitterness keeping you from forgiving. You need to forgive even if the offending party has not apologized. You don't need to trust them and enter back into a relationship with them, but you need to forgive them because the unforgiveness burns you up, destroys you. So we're going to deal with some strategies on how to forgive later, but are these spirits allied with bitterness active in the world today? Anybody see them hanging around in the world today? The world's filled with these spirits. They're active in congregations and families and workplaces and schools and neighborhoods and nations. And certainly they are using the virus and the election fraud to tempt all of us. You can also be bitter toward God because of what he's allowed in your life, like the virus or the election fraud. But you can't have a healthy relationship with God if you're bitter toward him. You must trust Romans 8:28. That God has allowed distressing things in your life, and it will work for your good. Okay, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 31. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, violent assertiveness, and slander, along with all spitefulness. Now, it's important to catch what Paul, Rabbi Shaul, is saying here. What are we told to do with bitterness? Get rid of it. What he's saying here is that bitterness just doesn't go away because you want it to or because it's been uncovered. It is a spirit and must be removed by the spiritual weapons God has given you, his name, because spirits don't obey earthly forces. You can't argue it away. You can't convince yourself, don't be bitter. And forgiving, oftentimes people get confused and they think, well, I can't forgive because I still have these terrible feelings. It's not about feelings. Forgiving is about being obedient to God's instruction and understanding that the price for not forgiving is bitterness. So let me give you some strategies here to help you forgive. When he was hanging on the cross, in Luke chapter 23, verse 34, we read what Yeshua said. Father, forgive them. They don't understand what they are doing. This is a very profound statement. Yeshua was able to see his murderous ignorance and how they were deceived, and he forgave them because he understood that they were ignorant and deceived. So it can help you to forgive if you see that those you are angry with really are ignorant of the effect of their actions. Now, in the case of the two things we've been talking about here, some had noble motivations, the good of our nation, but they've been deceived into thinking that their ideology and their policies are good when they are actually evil. Some had evil motivation, self-promotion, greed, pride, but they too have been deceived into not having any fear of the Lord and believing they will not eventually reap what they've sown. They're deceived. Second, it can help you to forgive if you can separate the person from their sin. It's right to hate the evil, but not to hate the person. To forgive, you must separate the person from their behavior. And third, it can help you to forgive if you see that the person is going to suffer the consequences of their evil actions or words. And they will. Every one of us will be judged at some point. So here's what Rabbi Shaul says, which is mind-boggling, actually, Romans 12, verse 20. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing this, you will heap fiery coals And in this translation, it says, of shame on his head. What's all this about? Well, by praying for the person, you're causing him to repent. You're causing him to be ashamed of what he did. So we need to pray for and give thanks and forgive those who perpetrated, who covered up the fraud and the election and the virus, trusting that God will use what they did for the good of his people and of our nation. And understand that getting rid of bitterness about the election and the virus does not mean at all that we should stop praying and working toward revealing the truth and bringing the perpetrators to justice. Doesn't mean that at all. It means we continue to do that without us being harmed by these spirits. We're not drinking the poison and hoping someone else dies. The Holy Spirit will shine his light on all the hidden evil. So pray with me, please. Father, we thank you that you want us to be free from bitterness and all its associated spirits. You command us to get rid of it. So, Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit, even right now and in the days to come, would examine each of our hearts and show us if we have any unforgiveness, any resentment, any anger, any hatred, any bitterness about these things or about other things that have happened to us or people in our lives. And Father, I recognize, and I'm sure some of you recognize, we've allowed these spirits into our lives. We've given into them. We've gone along with them at times. So we take responsibility for having agreed with them and let them in, and we repent. We repent of unforgiveness, resentment, anger, hatred, bitterness. We ask your forgiveness for having let these things in, for having agreed with them, for having allowed them to have power in our lives. We thank you that you sacrificed your sinless life to pay the penalty for our sin. So we ask your forgiveness in the name of Yeshua, and we receive your promised forgiveness, O Lord. We receive it. And now, in the name of Yeshua, we all agree, and I bind that strong man in bitterness. So anybody who's hearing this right now, I bind the power of bitterness in the lives of all who are hearing this in the name of Yeshua. And in the name of Yeshua, I command the spirits to leave that are the armor and weaponry of bitterness. Unforgiveness, get out. Resentment, get out. Anger, get out. Hatred, get out. Frustration, despair, get out. Hopelessness, depression, get out. In the name of Yeshua, I command these to leave and go into their dry places. Stop troubling us. And now in the name of Yeshua, I command that bound spirit of bitterness to leave. Every one of us. Every one of us, get out. We renounce these spirits. Unforgiveness, resentment, we renounce you. We renounce anger and hatred and bitterness. We renounce depression and despair and hopelessness. And in the name of Yeshua, we renounce these. Frustration. Lord, we ask you to refill us with your Holy Spirit. Refill us to the overflowing, O Lord. Wherever those spirits were, fill those spaces, O God, and overflow us. And we commit ourselves to resist their return, and we ask, Lord, for one of the gifts that you describe in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. It's called the gift of discerning of spirits. We ask for that gift that we could see when thoughts come to our mind of anger and hatred, we'd say, oh, there it is, kind of come back. I'm not going to let it. I'm not going to agree with it. I'm going to stand against it. We resist their return, and we ask you to renew our minds to think the way you think, O Lord, to think in godly ways and have your attitudes. And we rejoice in your deliverance, Father. We thank you for it. Thank you, Lord. And now, Father, we pray for the light of your Holy Spirit to shine on all the evil that is being hidden. We pray for conviction and repentance of all those who have participated in the evil, and for your righteous judgment to come upon them, that they would repent and be saved. We ask you, Father, to enable us to receive the fullness of your love. Not just to know about your love, Lord, but to experience your love daily. May it be the root and foundation of our lives, and may it repel all future attacks of bitterness and its spirits. And we thank you, Father, that even in these times, we can have peace in our hearts. We can be overflowing with that peace to those around us. And at the same time, we can continue to do warfare and stand against the forces of evil. But we're not drinking the poison, Father. We're not drinking the poison. And we thank you so much. We thank you so much for your word and your power and the power of your name to stand against the things that are not of this world in Yeshua's mighty name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you.